So again, one more time. Yud Tes on the days, 9 lines from the bottom. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines from the bottom. We learned yesterday the Ma'aseh of Machat. A needle was found inside of an animal, a carbon. You have a carbon, para, whatever the case was, you did Shechita, and in the Azara you find the Machat. So what's the Shiloh? Shiloh is the Machat, Stam Machot and Stam Kalim are Tameim. If the Machat is Tamei, then the Basar is Tamei. It's Kodesh. Basa Kodesh, Tameh has to be burnt. You're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to be makavid on the Mizbeach. That's a very big Avera. One of the Averas, all the Kabbanis you bring on the Chatois. All of the Chatois of a Tumas Mikdash V'Kodashav. So it's serious business. We have here the Baidek, they're preparing the Basa for Achila, or for Akhtar on the Mizbeach, and they find the Machat. Where did this Machat? The Machat came into the stomach of the animal. We're assuming the case is where it's Nashav Trefus. Okay, the Baid came in the Mikdash, the Bekim in Yerodea. They know that it's Nashav of how the machat is positioned, the top of the machat, the back of the machat. There's no shiloh that the animal is a treifa. It's not no geos. But the shiloh is the machat. It's tummy. Machat is tummy. So the basar is tummy, and the basar is tummy. The basar has to be burnt. So what is halachah? So we learned yesterday that it's okay. We don't have to be machmir. We can be makel. We can say that everything is okay. The basar, I say pufakay. The basar is tummy. I already figured the gemara. What was the words of the Gemara? How did the Gemara start? Alamachat Shlim says the Basar Shasakin Vidayim Tohoyos Vabasar Tomei. Pumfakir. The Bas Tak is Tomei. I'm sorry. The Bas was Tomei. We are Machmir. We do assume the Machat is Tomei. The Basar indeed is Tomei. The Basar has to be discarded. But if a person, the Kohen, who touched the Basar, and the knife that made contact with the basar and with the mashka that's in the vicinity is tahor. So we mechalek between the basar itself is tameh, but the yodayim of the kohanim and the kalim of the kohanim, even though they may have made contact with the machat, are tahorim. So the question is, why? Why are we so generous? Amar Rav Ashi, Zos Ameris, Azara Rishus Harabim Hi. This goes to sugi of soita. Anytime we have a Suffolk tuma. So we go to the case of Saita. If it's Bereshus Harabim Tahar B'Shayachet Tamei. So here we learn that the Azara has the status of Bereshus Harabim. Memela Suffolk tuma Bereshus Harabim Tahar. V'Havle Suffolk tuma B'Shiram B'Chol Suffolk tuma B'Shiram Sveikai Tahar. The Gemara says now the Gemara goes off on a tangent. So from this we can be medayik. Had the Azara had the status of Rishus HaYachid, Has V'Hab Rishus HaYachid Tzvekoy Tamei. Why? Even if the Azara had the status of Rishus HaYachid, I'll still show you a reason why it should be Torah. Because when we learn from Saita, what's the Shaila by a Saita? We're dealing with human beings. A woman had Yichud with a man that's not her husband. And we do not know if she did an Avera. If an Avera was committed, she would be Tameya. So, and she is a human being. She has the ability to tell us what happened. If she'll tell us the truth, that's another story. But she has the ability, she has das. So the general rule is, and so there, what does the Torah say? Torah, we don't know what happened. We have no idea. The husband warned, we do not have yichud. She had yichud. And so what is the halacha? Tameya. She is begeder tameya, and her husband may not be with her until they give her the mei hamorim. So the problem over here is, so therefore, anytime we have a safek tumah bereshus hayachid, it must be 100% comparable to the case of saita, where we're dealing with something, a human being, which has das, intellect. We can ask them. A machat does not have any intellect. Being that it does not have intellect, even if it would be in a reshus hayachid, it's not like the prototype of the saita. It should be tar. So why do we need to come on to the Azara as a Rishus Harabim? Even if the Azara is a Rishus HaYachid, it will still be Tar, because it's not like the prototype of the Saita. Michti, hi Machat, Dover Shem Oidas Lishol, who? Bechol Dover Shem Oidas Lishol, Bein Birishus Rabbein Birish HaYachid, Tzvekai Tar. So the Gemara says, so it's very important, but this Mamash, you say this to Gemara, Mishum to have a Tzvek, Tzvek, Tama, Hababi, De Odom. Even though the object itself is an object which is Ein Boidas, but the person, what's nogea to us are the people. Is the person as a shayla if he made contact with it? Since we have a suffix, if a person may know, it's, let me just tell you the Gemara's maskana. When do we apply these rules? Those rules apply in the case where you have a kli lying in the street. There's a kli lying in the street. The kli did not make any contact with people. It's just lying there. So the shaylas, you have a house, Everything in your house is tahar. Am I allowed to take what's lying in the street and bring it into my house and have it touch all the things in my house? So we have to judge. Is it a safek tum b'rishus hayachid, a safek tum b'rishus harabim? So the shaila is on the kli itself. We want to know how to proceed. Basically, the Gemara is going to do the next five lines to say here, it's not a shaila of bringing this object into your house. The shaila is, did you already made contact with it?
Right.
There was an object lying in the street, and you have already touched it. Or the object has come and touched your things. So here, now the shaila is on you, the shaila is being presented after the fact, after the object already has made contact with a person or with another food. That is not the shaila of, that is not the case of safek tum b'rishus hayachid, safek tum b'rishus harabim. That's where we have an object, and we want to know what is the status of the object. Even though you'll tell me theoretically it doesn't make a difference, it does. It all depends. There are many examples in halacha. It all depends when you ask the shaila. When you ask the shaila makes all the difference in halacha, even though theoretically, technically, it shouldn't make any difference in halacha l'maisa, because it's all, if this is tameh, this is tameh, and that's tameh.
Right.
No, that's not halacha. Halacha is always when is the question brought to light. You know, you had this with the whole scandal very recently, and they had a lot of articles explaining the Pesach Halacha, Ibelsky, the meat scandal in Los Angeles, Erev Pesach. When was the Shaila? At what point in time was the Shaila Wachal? There's no gid, the very big nafkamina. So same thing over here. What is the shaila is not what is the status of this utensil. If that was a shaila, clear cut. It has no das lish, even if it's thinning in the rishus ram, since this needle does not have any das, automatically it's tar. But here the shaila is after that. There's a kli, and I made contact with it. There's a machat, and I, the koyin, touched it. So the shaila now is on me, who already has made contact with a dover that's possibly tameh. Then that is in the category of dover sheyesh by das lisha, because I am the one who is asking the question binogea myself, and I have das. Even though it's true, my question is rooted in an object that does not have das lisha, that does not make the difference. If I did not make contact, and I want to know how to proceed in the future and to ask about the machat, then you're right, that's a dover sheyesh by das lisha, but that's not the case of here. So as Hasbuk Morris says in a few lines, Mishum davi safik tumba haboha bidei adam. V'yama Rabbi Yochanan safik tumba haboha bidei adam nish'olin oleha. You have to ask the shaila. You have to go and ask the question in Bezdin. You must ask them, is it tame, is it tar? And since you are a person who is bardas, so now we have to. The only thing we'll decide will be: are you in a rishus haram or are you in a rishus haravim? Neshama afilu. Then there's one more line, one more chiddush. Afilu b'chli hamunach al gabi karka. Even if the shaila is the b'chli that's al karka, kedavar sheyesh boidas lishol. Which means follows: there are two different cases. There's the case where you have a kli, and the kli is on the move. The question is, did the kli make contact with, did the kli that's tamei make contact, the kli is tamei. Well, it's a suffix tamei. And the question is, did the kli make contact with the person? That's one shaila. The other shaila is where there is a person that is carrying in his possession a sheretz. He's for sure tamei. I am for sure tamei. I have in my possession a dead sheretz, and I am carrying it. And my shaila is, did I make contact with a piece of food or a kli that's lying in the street? So let's review the two different cases. One case is where there is a kli that's lying in the street. Let's make believe for argument's sake that the kli is 100% tame. Okay? 100% tame. The shaila is, did this kli touch me? So that's one shaila. Now that shaila, l'chayra, is a better shaila, because there, let's move to it, which one's better. The kli is vadai tame, and the question is, did the kli touch me? The other shaila is where the kli, l'chayra, was 100% tahar, and I am carrying a dover that's tameh, and my shaila is, did I bring the tumah to the kli. Now, between these two questions, which one would you be more tempted to say is tahar? Because the davar she'ein boy das lishol, the second shaila. Because the second shaila, the victim, which is the kli, we call it, it's something which she'ein boy das lishol. He doesn't have any das. It's not asking the it's not asking any questions. I am tame. I know what I am. I have no shilas. I don't need a rough. I know what I am. I am tame. I have in my possession the dead sheretz. I am now walking through the street, and as I walk through the street, I have a suffix. Did I brush up against the object in the street, or did not brush up against the object in the street? So who needs to ask the shayla? The kli needs to ask the shayla. The kli that's in the street is a davar shein by dasli shoyl. So luchar, you would say automatically it's tar because it's not similar to the prototype of a soita. No, since when I come to ask the shayla in Beis Din, I tell them it's because I, the human being, may have indeed contaminated it. It's not just I'm a shayla, I found something in the street. None of my business. I'm tahar. No, we just don't know what the status. That's the case of soita. But that's not what you're doing in Beis Din. You're coming to Beis Din, telling Beis Din, I'm tameh, I have in my position done this tameh, I have a suffix if I made contact with this object lying in the street. I would be tempted to say, so since the shayla is nogea, a davar, she'ein boy dasli shohil olav, it should automatically be tar. The answer is no, because since I am asking the question, I am involved in the possibility of spreading the contamination, that's called davar she'yesh v'idas l'shol olav, and in Melo we have to take into consideration the difference between the Rishus Harabim and the Rishus Hayachad. That's a bigger chiddush. Now let me give you the case that's a lesser chiddush. The lesser chiddush is where I have in the street an object that is 100% tame. And there's a question if that object, which is 100% tame, made contact with me. So I'm asking a shayla b'nogei me. I'm asking, what's my status? Am I tame? Am I tar? So if am I tame? Am I tar? I am a davar sheyesh boi das lishoyal. The only thing you would be tempted to say to me, yeah, but the source of my tuma is a davar she'ein boi das lishoyal. That's a shvacha teretz. That's very weak, that argument, because I am a davar sheyesh boi das lishoyal. So not only in a case where in a case where the object is vaday tami and there's a suffix that make contact with me, in that case the halach is going to be it's considered davar sheyesh boi das lishoyel, even in a case where I am vaday tami and the object is the suffix, that's also called a davar sheyesh boi das lishoyel, and we need to decide, the decision will depend on if the Rishus is Rishus Hayachid or Rishus Rabim, and that's exactly what's happening over here. What's happening over here, we have here this machat. The machat is a suffix, and the person over here does not know what, the person over here made contact with it, he does not know what status it is, so the shayla is benogei the person, he's a davar sheyesh boi das lishoel, he has a suffix, he made contact with it, does not know what his status is, but he's a davar sheyesh boi das lishoel, and the meila, the only reason why we can paskin that benogei him and the kalim tar is because the azara has the status of a rishus harabim. Okay, that concludes this shnei gemara nugemar. Now the habasar tamei. And then where's Akash? We learn over here that the basar, even though the person, when it comes to the person is going to be tahar, but when it comes to the basar, we're going to be machmir, and we're going to treat the basar as tamei, as a chumrah. We're going to be machmir and treat the basar is tamei. We have to be machmir. Because of Kedusha, of the Beis HaMikdash, we'll be machmir. The question is, but why? High boss of discussion b'may. Even if you want to be machmir, and you want to stay, and you want to say, the Gemara explained why this is so. The reason why we said this was because only a chumrah, because this needle came from outside the Beis HaMikdash. We want to be machmir. We want to treat the basar as being tamei. Now when it comes to the person and the sakim, when it comes to the basar, we're going to be machmir. But wait a minute. Just because you want to be machmir, the only time you need food is hukshul, the kabal tuma, is if food came into contact with liquid. Right? In order for food to be kabal tuma, there must be hechsher hechsher. So when did the meat in the Beis Hamikdash ever come in contact with liquid that it's now susceptible for to be makabel tuma? Va basar tamei hay basar the iskasha b'mai inem the iskasha b'dam. Simple. When you do shchita, blood flows from the neck. The blood which overflows, which comes out of the animal and wets the meat, the dam will be one of the seven liquids. Which will there are seven liquids. How do you know? What's the way to have a very cute simon to remember the seven liquids? What do you remember? Yeah, there are seven moadim. Pesach. What's the liquid associated with Pesach? Blood.
Right.
Shavuos. What liquid? What do you have in Shavuos? Milk. Milchix. Yeah. Next comes Rosh Hashanah. What do you do in Rosh Hashanah? Honey. Dip the apple in the honey. Yom Kippur is a tricky one. Yom Kippur is tshuva. Is tal. It's a pasuk in Navi, is that tshuva is compared to do, to tal, to do. Sukkis is easy. Mayim. Chanukah is shemen, and Purim is yayin. Okay, so the way to remember the seven is the seven liquids are the seven moadim. What?
There's another seven. Yad, dam, shachad.
Yad, dam, shachad. Yad has what?
Yayin, dam.
Yayin, dam. Shachad is shemen. Cholav, shachad, and tesis hal.
Yad,
dam, dam, shachad. What's the dal mem? Dam. Yad, that is dam. Okay. So here we have one of the seven liquids is blood. So what's the problem? Here the animal has been slaughtered. Blood has come forth. By the way, when in order for food to get hukshar, you don't need it to be hukshar, as I remember correctly, the entire sukkah. You have a fruit. I'm not mistaken, you have a fruit. And you just put a little bit of water on just a little water. That's enough. The whole fruit is enough. You don't have to have the water smear on the entire 360 degrees of the fruit. So just if a little blood comes out of the neck of the animal and wets the basar,
the person that's drinking.
Yeah, kiyuta, you have to be satisfied. So certainly you want the blood to come out, because when the blood comes out, the more is the kasha, it looks red. Right, you have to warn it. Kiyutan, yutan yitain. So nechtam, over here the person who wants it to look red, the Gemara says the Gemara is your kasha. Why? Because you want it to look in the market to look fresh.
Right, right.
When it is red, it's fresh.
Yeah.
So the person here, there's blood. The blood spills out partially on the neck of the animal. That should be enough to be machsha the entire animal. So what's the Gemara's question? Ilema, inem the hukshah discussion b'dam with blood can't be, because the only time blood is machsha the animal is only when it's blood that is blood of chulin. But blood of kadoshim is not machshir basar for tumah. V'ha amar b'chibar rabba amar yochanan minayin l'dam l'kadoshim she'enoi machshir. Shenemar, lo'y seichlenu, do not eat blood, don't eat regular blood. What should you do with regular blood of an animal? Al ha'oretz tishbechenu kamoyim, pour like water. Dafka dam shenishbach kamayim machshir, only blood which is poured like water. But blood of a carbon you don't pour on the floor like water. Blood of a carbon you collect in a kli shareis and you do a zurik on the mizbeach. Simple. They washed it. They shech the carbonos, and in the Azara, there is a whole section where there are butchers working 24/7. They're working very hard to prepare the meat for achila, and they have sinks. I'm sure they have mar and plumbing, and they wash the meat. Because we know from the Gemara that that was one of the takanas that Chazal made, that the mashke beis mitbechaya, water and the water in the slaughterhouse is not machsher, is not mekabel tuma. Not only shehein dochein, that they're tahar, they're not mekabel tuma. This was either a halacha lemoshe misinai. We had different, this whole discussion about this 2 days ago. Is this halacha lemoshe misinai, or is this a special gezeirah? Is this minat Torah? Because minat Torah machsher not mekabel tuma. Period. Only medin derabanan. Ela shein machsher. It's a very big chiddush. Not only are the mashke basement b'chayin not mekabel tuma, they don't have the ability to be machsher zeroyim for tuma. So back with the question: so why then is it bokso hukshar? It's not the dam, it's not the mayim. V'el diskashe b'chivas hakodesh. Incredible chiddush. Just the fact that it's beloved it is the property of the Beis HaMikdash. That itself upgrades the meat to a state where it's automatically chukshar lekabel tuma. What's the use? Because you don't appreciate something until you wash it. When you wash it, now it's ready. That's the Gemara's darsh, like time of the krah. So the Beis HaMikdash, mimela, it's ready because it's property of the Beis HaMikdash, so he does not need. So the Gemara says, no, that's not so. That's not a good answer because Amar the Mahanyalechi Basakhadesh Lev Sulei Gufe Lemimne Be Rishon Vesheni Nami. This concept that there's something called Chibas HaKodesh, something is beloved, it's precious because it's the property of the Beis HaMikdash, and it automatically allows something to automatically to be Chukshar Lekabel Tuma. That's only that it has the ability to become tame, to be susceptible to tuma. But the Chibas HaKodesh does not give an object such status, such power that you can count levels of tuma of Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, V'Revi. Here we need this basar to become a Sheni. We need this basar. Over here, in order to go count Rishon and Vesheni, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. We're not going to make the basar Rishon and Vesheni. So this is a very critical Rashi. This goes back to what we mentioned when we started this whole sugya of Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKoyhanim. This is a beautiful Rashi. Because maybe you're right. Let's say you learn the Gemara just like the way we learn. So what's the problem? You're right. All it says in the Gemara is the basar is Tameh. The basar was never hukshar lekabel tuma. Now it's in contact with the machat. Okay, so the basar is contaminated. Burn it. Who says we need to count dargos rishon sheni shlishi v'revi? So what's the answer? Because if that was really true, the Gemara Brayis should say the habasar posel. Posel means the tuma stops there. The fact. The Braisa chose to be precise and use the word Tomei indicates that this meat now has the koyach to further contaminate something else. We're going down to Madrega, Rashi. Diktoni, Rashi is asking in between these two words, Enochanam, so maybe you're right, it's not Taka. Diktoni Abosar Tomei. Veloy Ketoni Abosar Apostle. Beautiful Rashi. Mamash brings out a very powerful Chiddush. So how do we know that? So limlos, how do we know? So the Morris must then be the fact that we have no other choice. Must be tivshot the boy rish lakish. We have no choice but to say enochinami. That's the chiddush. Enochinami, the fact that it says shabasa tame, and the fact that there is no mayim that's machshu the basa other than chivas hakodesh. One thing we take out of this command daf chaf. In Pesachim, if one yisoid you take away from today is to know the yisoid, this tremendous chiddush, chibas hakodesh is so powerful. It's machshir zeroyim. It's machshir chibas hakodesh is equivalent to hechshir afilu lemimnei be rishoyin v'sheini. Tivshoy the barish lakish and the dwoz shlakish sorid shel menachet. Sorid means a clump of flour that never came in contact with liquid. What liquid would flour come in contact with? You don't want it to come in contact with water, because water will make it chametz. And you don't want chametz in the Beis HaMikdash. Shemen. Moinim by Rishon v'sheni Eloi. Amar Rabbi Huda v'shmuel kigoyin. So your fact is the answer is yes. So the Gemara says, no, it's not necessarily right. I have a solution. You know, I have, you don't have to come on to this. You don't need to come on to the solution. We don't know. We don't have no. I have a solution. No white hochshar. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel. Going shoyis the parshal zivchei shlam is a para. The vira benohar before you did shchito, it passed through a river. It was soaking wet, and then the shachta, and then you slaughtered it. The adayin mashket efeach aleha, and the liquid is still dripping. It was hosed down before you did the shchita. It was hosed down, and it's still dripping with liquid. So now when you did shchita, you did shchita, and it's wet. So instantly it's hushal lekabel tuma. And now lo and behold, you cut it open. What do you find? You find the machat, and the machat is the machat. We assumed the Gemara yesterday. Where did the machat come from? The machat came from outside of Yerushalayim. That's where it came from because the animal was muzzled. And it came from outside Yerushalayim with a machat. So that machat is an avatoma, and now the meat is chokshah. So the meat becomes a rishon. Fine. So therefore, that is the answer to this little shtickle. So we have two shtickles so far. Now I go to number three. Next shtickle. We learned yesterday, we find the machat in the peresh, in the waste, no problem, everything is fine and good. The tumah does not spread to the meat. The tumah is isolated, even in the peresh, in the waste, in the waste doesn't spread. Nim says, the peresh akol tar, everything is tar. Why is akol tar? V'nahad the peresh, v'nitzmai l'basin. The Gemara assumes that the peresh is tameh. Even if akol tar, the Gemara in the Hamina says, don't take that literally. Does the mamin akol tar means the peresh l'chor is tameh. If you want to use the peresh for fertilizer, l'chor it's tameh. L'chor. But the least let the parish be metame the basa. So the most kash when had the parish in the basa. Amar Rav the Barahava the parish ova. It's not wet. It's dry. It's thick. So it's thick. It's viewed to be a separate identity. The lav mashku. It's not called a liquid. And I guess basically, if it's not a liquid, we have a yisoid. What's the yisoid? This goes back from two daf. You have to tie all these loose ends together to make sense of the Gemara. An oichel is not metame an oichel. We have that yisoid. An oichel is only metame a mashke. A mashke is metame an oichel. But you cannot be metame your own kind. At least according to this man, the Omar. So if the peresh is ova, it's an oichel. Now the peresh wants to be metame the basar. No, oichel can't be metame. A solid cannot be metame another solid. At least according to this Tana. I guess we're calling it an oichel, even though it's ova. It's not a mamashi food that you're going to eat. I don't know if we say oichel, it means you have to be able to eat it. I think it means something which is a solid, whatever. It has the solid. Ova, Ravash is another answer. No, filtim perish raka. No, you can say that's liquidy. Mishundahave mashkes saduach. We had this yesterday before. That when something spoils, it loses its koyach of tumah. The tumah departs when something spoils. Okay, so therefore there's no tumah whatsoever. And now when it says kula, it means everything is, there's mamash no tumah whatsoever. Right, new gemara. Tony time coming to Rashashas. New gemara. Okay, now we go to new gemara. Here's the case. We have a new case. Sheretz metameyas samashkin. The Gemara is not going to like that. But the Gemara at this point, we have a dead sheretz, one of the shmonis shvatzim, it's dead. It makes contact with a pond, with a liquid. The liquid is now tummy. Now, what is a sheretz? Sheretz is a rishay. Sheretz is enough. And the sheretz makes contact with a cup of juice. The juice is now a rishay. And now mashke metames akli, and the mashke now makes contact with the utensil. So what is the utensil? The utensil is a sheni, which is a chiddush. Uchli metames, and in the kli put in some food, and the kli is metames soichlin, is metame the oichel. So what's the oichel? The oichel is now a shlishi. The oichlin, now the oichel is now going and becomes contact with the liquid. Metames hamashkin, and the mashke now becomes a rivi. So the Gemara says, "V'lamanu." We learn from here, "Shalosh tumos b'sheretz." Right, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4 equals 3. The avatoma touches the sheretz touches the liquid. That's the rishain. The rishain touches the mashka touches the utensil. Utensil now becomes a sheni. Utensil touches an oichel. The oichel becomes a shlishi, and the oichel touches a mashka, which becomes a revi. We learned 3. The Gemara is the obvious kasha. 3, 4. The Labanu shaloish tumois besheretz. The Gemara is the obvious kasha. What are you talking about? Honi arbohein. This is 4, not 3. Obvious question. So the Gemara says, you're right, I made a mistake. Goyis mashkin dereisha. Cut off the first part of the brayso. What was the brayso? A sheretz touches mashke. No. That's not what happened. The sheretz didn't touch the mashke. The sheretz touched the kli, not the mashke. Also, now what's the kli? The kli is a rishon. The kli touched the oichel. The oichel is a sheni. The oichel touched the mashke. And the mashke is a shlishi. Now, by the way, who says this? Who says there's something called a shlishi by chulin? We're dealing here l'chor with chulin. Rabbi Akiva. So this is following Rabbi Akiva, now what we are familiar with. We are familiar with the Rabbanon that say there's no such thing as a shlishi by chulin. But this is following the sheet of Rabbi Akiva that says there's something called a shlishi by chulin. Okay. Goyiz mashkin dresha. The Gemara says, listen, there's something corrupt about this braisa. We have to reduce it from 4 to 3. If you're going to reduce from 4 to 3, why do you want to reduce it by cutting off the beginning, cut off the tail end? What was the last part of this case where the oichel touches the mashke? So let's cut off that part. Adrabba, goyz mashke in the sefer. So the Mara says, no, you can't do it because loy ashrichon tana da'ama mashke in the tana klin. No, because then if you can continue with the way we have it, the sheret touches the mashke. Okay, that's good. Oh, fine, no problem. So the mashke is going to be a rishon. The mashke now touches the kli. No such thing. There's no such thing min ha-Torah that a kli, a utensil, is mekabel tuma from a rishon. Kalim are only mekabel tuma from an avatam. We only find in the Torah v'chiyipol minivlosam olaf, that if a nevela falls in the kli, you only find in the Torah kalim and man, adam v'kalim, are susceptible to tuma from an avatama. You want to go tell me now that the mashka became a rishon, and then the mashka went and touched the kli, made the kli into a sheni? We don't find any makar for this. So since there is a corruption in this price, so it's logical that the corruption is the beginning. Shlomitzinu Ashkon tanu dan dan amma mashka mitam nezakli amma Rabbi Huda Ella the Lord Ashkon tanu dan amma mashka mitam nezakli Ella Rabbi Huda. I'm sorry, there is one Tana. I mean, not really. That was yesterday's daf and 2 days ago's daf, Rabbi Huda. But remember, the Gemara is Maskana. V'hadabe, v'yad charata. Rabbi Huda, the Gemara showed that he had charata. He changed his mind. Hadabe, he changed his mind. He came around to agree that there's no such thing as a cleaving makabatuma from a rishon, kalim only makabatuma from another tuma. And then the Gemara concludes with one last mnemonic, the simonech nezaisa. The way to remember this sugi is a beer is a container of beer. How do you make beer? Everyone knows how to make beer. Everyone goes to the kitchen. What do you do to make beer? You take a utensil and you put it down. The first thing you do when you make beer is you put down the utensil. Okay. The next thing you do is you put in the utensil hops, barley. What are hops? Hops of barley? You put in barley seeds. Barley, two different types of barley. There's beer that's made from dates, and there's beer that's made from barley. Hops is a type of barley, right? I think so, right? That's how it goes. Chametz. Hops. You put in the barley. And then what do? You pour in the water. So okay, what do you do first? When you make beer, you first put down the utensil. You then pour in the barley. And then you pour in the water. Same thing. First, the sherets touch the kli. Then the kli touched the oichel, the barley, and then the barley touched the mayim, the mashke. So the way to remember the braisa, that the order is first the sheretz touches the kli touches the oichel touches the mashke, is to remember the seder of making barley. The simonech lezais. Next, tanas mugumar. Okay, nushta gumar. It's mildly for every 2 lines. If I'm nushta gumar, nu you say this. Tanas sheretz nim sabitana. Hapash b'soicha shni. You have a sheretz that's found in a tanur. Okay, so what happened? Now this alum is alum shel gemara. We really mentioned this gemara 2 days ago. The gemara now just goes through the makar for the halach. Let me just tell you the ma'aseh and then do my very quick insight. Here's the dilemma. Here's the shaila. You have a kli cheres. We know there's a halach that a kli cheres, if you have a dead sheretz is suspended in the avir. The sheretz need not touch. Need not make physical contact with the kli cheres in order for the kli cheres to become tameh. As long as the sheretz and avatumah is suspended in the ear space of a kli cheres, automatically the kli cheres becomes tameh. So here's the shaila. When we say that the sheretz contaminates the kli, does that mean that the kli becomes one madrigal lower down? Or does it mean that the kli cheres becomes the same madrega as the sheretz? Because since it's magic, see, since the whole thing is magic, that it doesn't have to make physical contact. We are familiar with the concept of tumah, where an av touches something, and that becomes a rishon. The rishon touches another object, becomes a sheni. The sheni touches something, contact. When you're dealing with contact, you're always going down one madrega. But when you're dealing with avir, there's no contact. It's magic. You have a sheretz. The sheretz is in the airspace of a kli cheres. You have a massive kli cheres, the size of a football field. Well, if it was too big, then maybe it might be mechubal karka. You have a very massive, massive kli cheres. Automatically, the whole utensil is tame, because it's ki'ilu, that tumah has expanded and fills up the entire airspace. So if you have food inside the kli cheres, we should say that the food has the same status as the sheretz. Or at least we should say that the kli cheres should have the same status as the sheretz. So that would then mean that the food is not going to be a sheni. The food should be a rishon. In other words, the sheretz is an avatumah. The sheretz is an avir. Avir is not contact. It's a new concept. So since we're dealing with the concept of avir, that should automatically make the kli cheres also into an av hatumah. Now when, what? The idea of going, the idea that you go down one madrega is only true when it comes to touching. This is not, avir is better than touching. So the Gemara is suggesting this. The Gemara is going to reject it. But the Gemara is suggesting that since we're dealing with a much more powerful form of spreading tumah, a concept called avir. So think about it. It's an amazing thing. All the laws of Torah, they know they operate with physics. And here we have a rule which does not operate with the laws of physics. Just an avir kli cheres is tameh, so maybe we have a right to assume that the tumah is more intense and it's equal to its source. The sheretz is nav, the kli cheres is nav. So now, when the food comes into the kli cheres, the food should be a rishon, or no? Maybe we have to follow the rules. The sheretz is the av. The kli, even though it's operating with the rules of av, becomes a rishon, and the food becomes a sheni. So that's the Gemara's debate.
Why does the food become also?
Oh, that's the Gemara, all part of the Gemara Shaila. It's because the food is in the avir. So let the food also become an avatama, or at least a rishon, not a sheni, right? That's all part of the Gemara Shaila. So tell us, I'm sheretz, and this is the tanur. I'm sheretz in the tanur, apash, the bread is a shniya. Really, why? The bread, look at that. The bread went down two notches. The oven became a tchila, became a rishon. So the sheretz is an av, the tanur becomes a rishon, and the bread becomes a sheni. No, I don't like this. So let us suggest, let's go to the tanur, command the moli tomodamia. It's like it's filled with tumah. The tahave haipas rishayna, and let the bread be a rishon. Let, since we operate with the rules of avir, let's view the entire oven to be one big av hatumah, and the mele, the bread will now become a rishon, not a sheni. Amolei loy sal kedaitach. What you're saying is excellent. Misvara, you're on the ball. You're on the mark. However, it's a gezeres hakosef. What's the gzeres hakosef? So the Torah tells us to love the Tanya. I would think. Here's the proof. The proof is, if you are correct that avir is going to be an av hatumah, what would happen if you take a? What would happen if in the kli cheres you would have a knife? You have another kli. Think about it. You have a kli. A kli b'soich kli. I have a big pot, and in the big pot I have a ladle, I have a spoon, I have a cup. So if you're going to tell me that the kli cheres has, through the avir, it's ki'ilu, the avatoma fills up the entire kli cheres, so the kli, the cup, the small utensil inside, is getting its tuma from the sheretz, which is an avatoma. And that would mean, and we know what's the basic rule is, that a kli can only be mekabel tumah from an av hatumah. And then this kli would indeed be mekabel tumah from the sheretz, and the kli would be a rishon. Not only would the food inside of the utensil become tumah, because food can be mekabel tumah from a rishon, but even kalim that are found in the kli cheres should become tumah, because the sheretz fills up the entire utensil, so the kli is being mekabel tumah from the sheretz, which is an avatumah, which fits according to our rules. But yet it's a gezeres hakosef, that the only thing that's mekabel tumah in the avir kli cheres is oichel u'mashke and not kalim. Oh, why not? It must be, because the Torah is indirectly teaching us that when you deal with Avir, Kli Cheres, it doesn't mean that the Avir is command the Mal Yadami with the boss of the Sheretz, but rather it's magic. The boss of the Sheretz causes the Kli to become a Rishoin, and then whatever makes contact, physical contact with the Cheres, becomes another Madrega lower. So food and Mashka, yeah. But Kalim, no, because a Kli cannot be Makabel Tumah from anything that's less than an Av HaTumah.
Yeah, but the Av of the Kli and the Av of the Kalim that's inside it is the same Av.
The Av of the Kli.
You have the Kalim. You have inside it another Kalim.
Yeah.
So the Av is the same for both.
It doesn't matter. Look what happens. What is the this Sheretz, you have a big utensil. It's only suspended on the top. It's not a kli b'sech kli mamish. Not like cups, plastic cups, one within the other. That's not, that would be the case, you would be right. They're nechanami. They're both nechanami. We're going in the case, you have a very big kli. Let's say the cup is upside down. The cup inside is upside down. And in this top, above the cup, is the dead sheretz. And you have a very large pot. And on the bottom of a spoon. And now suspended inside the large pot is, by a string, is a sheretz. That dead sheretz is not in the avir of the spoon. It's only in the avir of the larger kli cheres. Our shayl is, since it's within the avir of the larger pot, it's ki'ilu, that sheretz fills up the entire pot, and that sheretz is now making direct physical contact with the spoon that's resting on the bottom of the pot. Which would then mean the spoon is mekabel tuma directly from an av hatuma. So the Gemara is saying, no, that's not the way it works. When you have this concept that there's a dead sheretz in the avir, that automatically just spreads to the walls. The walls become now a rishon, and now if those walls want to contaminate something else, only going to be through contact. Through contact, it's too weak to be mitame. So that's the Tanya. And the pas with the heavy high pas rishayna. Another pas rishayna was amal leloy saka. Daito tanya yochel you call a kelim mitamin meavir, that kelim that are resting in a kli cheres should become tamid the avir. Meavir kli cheres tamuds in the pas they call asher bisoychoy yitma. It says anything that is bisoychoy yitma. Now, what does that mean? That pasuk really, at face value, would allow us to think even kelim. But the very next pasuk, we have to make a drash of samach le mikol ha'oichel asher ye'ochel. The next pasuk discusses food. And in Meilu, we make a drash of oichel metame me'avek licheres. Ve'ena kol ha'kelim metame me'avek licheres. So in Meilu, we learn the lumdis, the slums of gezeres ha'kas kelim nas. The only way that can make sense, the lumdis is, the avir causes the walls to go down one notch. It's not command ma'al yidamya. And if they will now want to contaminate something else, only can be to maga. And since they are now a rishon cannot make something, cannot be metame adam v'kelim. Okay, next Gemara, new Gemara. Okay, now we're going back to the Mishnah. He posed the sea between two laws of Karim Pesach. What do we mean? Rabbi Yishu in the Mishnah said a very important chiddush. It's Erev Pesach. It's Erev Pesach. And you want to burn two. You want to burn truma. So go right ahead. You're allowed to burn truma. That we learned. That if it's going to become, if it's the Zman beer, you're allowed to burn. You're allowed to burn truma, gezunt hate. But let's say you have in front of you two different types of truma. One is truma tehoira, and one is truma tenea. You're not allowed to burn the two together. Why not? Because you're going to contaminate. Because the truma tenea is going to contaminate the truma tehoira. So you're not allowed to do that. You have to burn the truma tehoira by itself. Okay, that's poshut. But what happens if you have tuluya utenea? What does tuluya mean? Suffolk. If you have truma, and you do not know if it's tamei or tohar, that's the worst. Ain't simcha ka'atar sasvegas. Because if it's tohar, eat it. If it's tamei, burn it. If it's tuluya, you're stuck in the middle. I can't eat it, because maybe it's tamei. I can't burn it, because maybe it's tohar. And if it's tohar, it's an issur deraisa to destroy biyadayim truma tohara. So if you have truma tuluya, you have truma, and you do not know if it's tamei or tohar, You have to let it rot. You're stuck. You're really stuck. It's a very big tircha. You have to put it aside and wait until it decays. Nothing you could possibly do with it. Okay, fine. But let's say you have Erev Pesach, and you have in front of you Truma Tehoira, and Truma Tameya, Vadai Tamei, and Truma Teluya. So what did it say in the Mishnah? Yeshua said, burn it. Burn them together. Go right ahead, burn it together. Oh, how can you burn it together? But maybe the Teluya is to the Tahar. And if it's Tahar, you're burning Tahar with Tamei. No, it's okay. If it's so that's what the Gemara is going to bring out now. Because the Gemara, I'll just tell you the Gemara's maskah. The basic Gemara's yisoid is, why are you not allowed to burn it? Because you're mechuyev to be shomer it. It's not a din. Not a din you don't want to burn. That's really what the Gemara is going to bring out. So it was really like a brisk Gemara, a Reb Chaim type of Gemara. Reb Chaim's in the Gemara itself. Why are you not allowed to burn Shuma Tahira? Is it because you're not allowed to burn it? It's a chefsa di sur. You're not allowed to burn it. It's the chayfitz, or no? I can burn it. It's just that there's a din shmira, ushmarta mes mishmarti. There's a din shmira, so when I burn it, I'm violating the din shmira. But there's nothing really wrong with burning it. I can burn it, but if I burn it, I'm going to violate l'may nafkamina when there's no din shmira. So when you have a case, we have no din shmira by tuluya. Tuluya is something which it's there's no din shmira. That has to be discussed. Why there's no din shmira by tuluya? So mainly you're allowed to burn it. Okay, that's what he's going through. But right now the Gemara does not yet know that. So we have chesed, we have two different sugyas of karm pesach on each other, of sugyas of erev pesach, burning chametz pesach on each other. Here we go. Umishani give an answer. Umi yamar Rabbi Shulam Dibim Shuli said that shtein ka'achas, that you're allowed to burn tuluya together with tameya. You can't bring a raya to the case. The nidoin doimel l'raya. We wanted to bring a raya. What was the case we wanted to bring a raya to? We wanted to bring a raya from. I'm getting confused. So let's see over here the Rashi. V'raminu. The Gatani Yehich Yitzav Afilu Tuli Matmeya. Okay, give me one second. I'm forgetting the Gemara. Ain hanidoin. The Gemara explained. Let's see the Gemara. Let's see the Gemara. Ain adin l'demel raya. Because she'idu Rabbi Seinu al ma he'idu. When Rabbi Seinu said testimony that you're allowed to burn two different types of things together, what was the example that they gave a raya that you're allowed to burn two different things together? Im alabasar shenitma b'vlana tuma she'sreifim oisalim alabasar shenitma b'yava tuma. What was the first raya? You have two different types of kachim. One object of kachim is a rishon, and the other is a shlishi or a revi. You're allowed to burn them together, right? Oh, but by burning a rishon together with a shlishi, you're going to upgrade. You're going to make the shlishi into a sheni. I'm sorry, the way you're going to make the rishon into a sheni. You're going to drag it down. If you go and you burn a rishon together with a sheni, so the sheni, if you're going to burn a rishon with a shlishi, so the shlishi is going to come in contact with the rishon, and the rishon is now going to become a. Oh wait, I'm getting confused. You have a rishon. You're going to make more tameh. You're going to make the shlishi, right, upgrade. You're going to cause the shlishi to become a sheni. Right, I'm sorry, right. So you're now going to burn a rishon with the shlishi, because when the rishon will touch the shlishi, you're going to make the shlishi into a sheni. So it's mutter. No problem, it's mutter. So what do we see? Do you see it's mutter? That's not irrelevant to our case, because there, even though it's taka truly, you're going up madregos, but still they're both tameh. Tameh is tameh. Okay, one is a rishon, one is a shlishi. That's just a dakos. That's a small point, which is not really so important. You're going to be right for the case of truma. Same thing a rishon, shabbat truma. Im al Hashem should nifsal betuzol yom shemalik mosav b'shirush b'nesh b'tamimeis zeh pasul zeh tamei. So what's the big deal? At least in those two cases, they're both tamei. Okay, one is a higher madrigal, one is a lower madrigal. They're both tamei. Ach onu moedim, we agree. You're allowed because anyway they're both tameh. But how can you bring a raya from those examples of burning kachim which have different madregos but they're all tameh to a case of tuluyim atmeya shema yavo yeliyahu? maybe Eliyonavi will come on the Mevar the Sveikos and will reveal that it's not really Tomei, it's really Tohar. And then what you're doing is you're being Metane, something that's really Tohar. V'yitahadein, and who will be Metar. So how can you compare the cases? Umeshani. And what's the answer? The answer is so what do you see from this? Who's the one that's making the statement? This is Rabbi Yeshua. This is Amar Rabbi Yossi. This is Rabbi Yossi is making this statement. This is Rabbi Yossi. So the Stira. So there, Rabbi Yossi makes it very clear that he disagrees. You're not allowed to burn Teluya with Tameya. And here in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi says, Rabbi Yeshua in the name of Rabbi Yossi says, you are allowed to burn Tameya with Teluya. So we have a direct contradiction. What exactly did Rabbi Yossi say? Umeshani, it's not a kasha. Ha Rabbi Shimon alib Rabbi Yeshua, v'ha Rabbi Yossi alib Rabbi Yeshua Nachnami, it's machlekes talaim, that's exactly what Rabbi Yeshua said. And Nachnami, there are two different versions as to what he said. And for our Mishnah, it's following one version, and that price falls in version. The Tanya, Yudash Chalias B'Shabbes, Erev Pesach Shachalias B'Shabbes, Mevanes Hakol Melufnei HaShabbes, the servant of Trumos, you're allowed to burn, Trumois, Temeois, Teluyois, Utahoyois, Divrei Rabbi Meir. You can burn all of these things. Rabbi Yois Yomer, he says, good, I agree, you can burn it, but make sure be careful, Tar B'Fnei Atzma, Uteluya Bifnei Atzma, Utmeya Bifnei Atzma. So what do we see? We see over here very clearly that in this version of Rabbi Yossi, he says Teluya Bifnei Atzma. That's not what it says in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi says you can burn Teluya together with Tmeya. So you see there are two different versions. That's exactly what Rabbi Yossi says. Okay, Vaita. It says, Rabbi Yehoshua, Rabbi Shimon, comes along and says, he disagrees. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. He says, no, I disagree. I hold that even Rabbi Yossi admits, even Rabbi Yeshua admits that you're allowed to burn Ala Tuluya V'Ala Tahara Shesarfin. Tuluya V'Ala Tahara Shesarfin. That you can burn those two together. Everyone agrees that you can burn those together. Alma Nechelku Ala Tuluya V'Ala Tameha. Shevelezo Imer Tisarif. Zubiatsa V'Zubiatsa. Shua Imer Shtenka Achas. V'Homas Nisan Rabbi Yosihi. But the Mishnah like Rabbi Yosi. Hachi Kama Rabbi Yosi. The Mishnah does say that according to Rabbi Yosi it can be done. And here Rabbi Yosi says it cannot be done. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yosi to Rabbi Meir, I feel Rabbi Shimon, that leave Rabbi Shu, the Meiko, Ki Meiko, but leave it to me, I will tell you to me alone. He's not saying his own private opinion, he's saying what someone else says. I personally hold that it cannot be done. I personally hold that it cannot be done, but even according to Mandem, when this is that it can be done, you should be aware, the most you can do is you can burn Tuluya and Tameya, you cannot burn Tuluya and Tahoira, you can burn Tuluya and Tameya together, you cannot burn Tuluya and Tahoira together. Okay. Alright, we'll stop here. Yeah.